This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I'm Listening is Odyssey's commitment to mental health conversations. If you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of suicide, depression, anxiety, or mental illness, help is available. Call or text 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. That's 988.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
A ferocious exchange of gun and rocket fire between Israeli troops and Hezbollah this weekend in Lebanon, southern Lebanon, raising fears of a regional war beyond the border between the two countries. Could that actually happen? Is this about to blow up in ways that none of us could have imagined? Let's bring in News Nation military analyst Lieutenant General Richard Newton. What is the latest now? What are we hearing, and how concerned should we be?
Well, I think we should be very concerned. That cross-border strike that you referred to, about 24 to 40 hours or so ago, where Israel conducted a major strike, a preemptive strike against Hezbollah forces in southern Lebanon, principally against their rocket and missile and drone capabilities, occurred early in the morning, about 4:45 in the morning, because they had gotten intelligence, both from their own intelligence as well as supported by U.S. military intelligence as well, that Hezbollah had been planning to attack northern Israel about 30 minutes later. And so that preemptive attack, which had 100 Israeli aircraft, including F-35 stealth aircraft, went out and targeted about 40 different targets. Most of them were hundreds of Hezbollah rockets and launchers. But that backdrop is Hezbollah still remains perhaps the most potent, certainly terrorist military force in the region, and probably the biggest threat other than Iran to Israel. You talk about multiple fronts. Yes, you've got Hezbollah to the north in Lebanon. You've got Hamas still with 2,000 or 3,000 terrorists in Gaza. You've got the Houthis down in Yemen to the south. Certainly you've got Iran as well. So, yeah, it's a multi-front war that Prime Minister Netanyahu and Israel faces on this Monday morning.
You know, one of the things that he said is that this is the only thing that they're going to do for the time being. Do we believe that, or do you think that this is going to escalate here?
Indications right now point to both Israel and Hezbollah back in defensive positions, and that's a good thing. And so there are indications and warnings that as Israel was had certainly been advised, and therefore that's why they went ahead with their preemptive attack earlier. Those indications and warnings right now are things seem to be, like I said, in a defensive position. But nonetheless, there have been 6,700 strikes from Hezbollah into Israel since October 7th. And so this isn't like what was a unique situation. They've been going back and forth, literally daily since, as I mentioned, since Hamas conducted that diabolical attack against Israel. So mistakes can happen, is my point, whereby you have a number of civilians killed, certainly on the Israeli side, which would then compel Prime Minister Netanyahu, I believe appropriately, to perhaps conduct a much more stronger counterattack in this case. My final point is that Prime Minister Netanyahu has also been very public and said that he still reserves a right to defend Israel, which he should, as well as protect Israeli citizens, and that he's able to do he's ready and he's demonstrated highly capable of conducting a counterstrike, again, to defend Israel if called for.
You mentioned Iran. How much more involved could they become? You know, we heard a lot of bluster, a lot of threats from Iran, and then when it comes right down to it, they back off. Is there concern that that could change?
It could. In fact, the unknown here, if we recall back in April when they conducted those 300-plus missiles and drones attack on Israel, that was a failed attack, but nonetheless, they could re-attack on that same scale, maybe not just in one way, but perhaps multiple ways. They've got the capability to do that, but the question is, do they have the will? But whether or not they attack or not, there have been no mentions, or they've been very quiet publicly and diplomatically, whether or not they would attack. Back in April, they showcased the fact that they were going to attack Israel, and therefore they did. Now's not, they're not doing that right now. But I do believe that Iran, however, is being deterred by a very strong, potent Israeli demonstrated capability and the will to counterattack, as we just saw. And so they are, I believe Iran is deterred by that. They understand that Iran could strike, or disregard, Israel could strike Iran. It could go after their nuclear weapons production capabilities. It could go back their Iranian, you know, Revolutionary Guard. It could go back their oil and infrastructure, which at the end of the day would nearly cripple the Iranian economy, which is pretty much on its heels right now. So there is some give and take here, but nonetheless, we don't know what Iran's thinking. We don't know what they're going to do next.
As for Israel, though, in terms of both manpower and money, is Israel eventually going to be stretched too thin?
Well, Israel's a small nation, and it's a small military. And you bring up a great point. They're very effective technically. They're very effective in terms of using their vast, you know, inside their small population, both their reservists as well as their active duty in both their air and their ground and to their special operations and their Navy. But they need the United States. They need the United States to help defend Israeli territory. So we talked at the top of the call, they're on multiple fronts of those who want to do Israel harm. We've now have two U.S. carrier strike groups. We've got the USS Abraham Lincoln and the Teddy Roosevelt in the region. Lots of firepower. We deployed an F-22 fighter stealth squadron there. So there's plenty of U.S. capability to support and defend Israel. And we have the will to do that should Israel be attacked. And so they can't go it alone, though. The point of your question is they will get stretched. And, you know, it's what they've been doing since Hamas did that terrible attack on the 7th of October. They've had a very high operations tempo, especially with their ground forces and their air forces since. Now you put up another front in Hezbollah to the north, that's going to stretch them. They're going to have to now relocate.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Their center of gravity of their efforts from the south into the north. They can do that, but you're right. They can only sustain this for so long.
All right, General, thank you very much. We really appreciate the time. Great insight. That is News Nation military analyst Lieutenant General Richard Newton with us on KRLD. Big news this weekend at what is being described as the world's most valuable piece of sports memorabilia ever.
I bet.
And you might argue with that, but the money don't lie. This weekend, Heritage Auction Galleries, they sold the jersey the Babe Ruth wore when he may or may not have called his shot in the 1932 World Series. And you're not going to believe how much money they got for it. Mike Provenzale is with Heritage, and he joins us right now. So the history of this jersey, October 1st, 1932. Tell us what happened.
Well, the Cubs were hosting the Yankees for Game 3 of the 1932 World Series. There was it was a very contentious series. Joe McCarthy, the Yankees manager, had previously been fired by the Cubs. There was a lot of trash talking going on. And while Ruth was at bat, the fans were giving him the business, as were the Cubs players from the dugout. And he pointed out to the outfield bleachers. Charlie Ruth, the Cubs pitcher, delivered the pitch, and Ruth crushed a home run, one of the longest home runs ever hit at Wrigley, right where he had pointed. And that's where the legend of the called shot began and the debate about it.
You know, one of the things that we were talking about, how big this thing sold for. Why do you think that this piece of memorabilia became so popular?
Few factors there. First, it's Babe Ruth. He is the biggest figure and the cornerstone of the sports collecting industry. The called shot is his most famous moment. He has a lot of famed exploits, but that is the one everybody knows about. Even if you don't know anything about baseball, you've heard of it or seen it recreated in movies or TV. And then the most important factor, it's the most heavily authenticated iconic item ever to come to the auction block. We used photos from that game to match the jersey perfectly. All the jerseys back then were handmade. The letters are hand sewn on. So each jersey is like a fingerprint. They're all unique. So where the New York on the front lines up with the seams and the buttons, we were able to definitively match it to photos from the game to be 100% certain that's the jersey he wore in that legendary moment.
Well, where did, after the game, where did it go? Who got it and who's had it?
So back then, jerseys were disposable. At the end of the season, the teams would take the names off and send them down to the minor leagues to be reused. But Ruth held on to this one. That's the only reason it survived, probably because of the World Series title and the called shot. It had special significance to him. In the 40s, he gifted it to a golf buddy. That family held it for 50 years, then sold it privately in the 90s. And then in 2004, it sold publicly at auction, the only other time it sold publicly, for $940,000. In that era, players got four uniforms for the season, two home and two road. When it sold in 04, we knew it was a Ruth road jersey from 32, but it had not been definitively tied to the called shot. So the winning bidder then has been trying to tie it to that game, and we were finally able to do it this year.
Yeah, you talk about an increase, $900,000 to what was the final price again? And tell us about the buyer as much as you can.
$24.12 million was the final price. Our auctions are online only. We do a format called extended bidding where there's a 30-minute timer that resets every time someone bids. That started at 10 p.m. Central Time on Saturday, and bidding went past 5 a.m. for this. The winning bidder is anonymous, so we cannot reveal anything about them.
If you had this jersey, what would you do with it? Would you display it or put it in a safe deposit box somewhere?
Well, for me, we took this jersey and highlights from the auction on a world tour the last month, including taking the Ruth jersey back to Wrigley Field for the first time since 1932. It was in the batter's box. Then we took it to our convention in Cleveland. We had previews at the All-Star Game here in Arlington, in Palm Beach, in New York, and at our Dallas office. And I was with it the whole time, so I would display it. When I saw the reaction from everyone, it's unbelievable, and it should be something everyone sees. But if you pay $24 million for a jersey, you can do with it as you please.
Wow.
Better be able to.
Yeah. Mike, listen, thank you so much. This is great information. Mike Provenzale is with Heritage Auction Galleries. They sold that jersey, that gray road Yankees jersey that Babe Ruth wore in 1932 in the World Series for the called shot, the alleged called shot.
$24 million
bucks they sold that thing for this weekend. Incredible.
And he mentioned it. Anything Babe Ruth, I mean, because sure. Of that legendary status that he is. It's
Any bat, ball, glove, anything having to do with Babe Ruth.
He gave it to old golf buddy. Hey, buddy, might like this. Here you go.
Can you imagine that guy? Yeah. Oh, wow, thanks.
One school in Dallas is making some changes after a student brings a gun. It happened at the Solar Prep School for Boys. School found out about it thanks to a tip from another student on Friday.
Principal Thomas also wrote about new security measures that started today, including metal detectors for 6th through 8th graders and backpack checks for students in 3rd grade and up. We have learned there will be a parents' safety meeting going over all of these changes tonight at 6 p.m. in the school auditorium. Dallas ISD says metal detectors known as secure entry is being adopted at several schools this year.
Alana Quillen reporting from NBC5. There's another school security issue to tell you about. This is in Carroll in Southlake. Potential threat came through the district Stop It system today. Didn't name a particular school, but they're working with Southlake cops to investigate the threat. The assistant principal of a school in Corsicana says she's leaning on her faith, but she doesn't know when she's going back to work.
Kendra Rogers wound up in the hospital earlier this month when Corsicana ISD's as a disruption in her classroom at Collins Intermediate School left her with a severe eye injury. Rogers is now recovering at home and says she's grateful for the support she's received. Corsicana ISD's now referred the case to the Nevada County DA, and any future action will come from the juvenile court system. The district says it's restricted the student to a specific location and he cannot be on campus. From the 24-Hour News Center, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KULD.
A Dallas man is now jailed after a shooting that nearly killed a toddler. Police say 50-year-old Jason Kane fired into a car on North Worthy Drive. This was in White Rock Hills, the area of Dallas. A two-year-old was struck, and then the shooting happened in front of Rain Williams' home. She heard the shots, but did not see the actual shooting.
My other son, who left sort of in the middle of all this before they blocked off the street, said that he heard a woman crying in her front yard, kind of across the street from us.
Kane was arrested a couple blocks away. He's now being held on charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and aggravated assault causing serious bodily injury. Bond has not been set.
The governor says he's taken a million dead people and felons and non-citizens off the voter rolls over the last 3 years. One group says Texas trying to stop people from taking part. Lydia Martinez works with LULAC.
I'm an old woman. I said, I help the seniors. I help the veterans. What do you want from me? They took my laptop, my appointment book. I don't know when I have an appointment with my doctors. They took my cell phone.
LULAC wants the Justice Department to investigate. The governor says the election integrity law leaves them to remove 6,500 non-citizens from the voter rolls in the last 3 years. 2,000 of those had voted before, and those cases are going to the AG for prosecution.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.